desire and interest in your prayers this evening. Certainly appreciate being back in West Virginia. And I have a burden, I've had it for quite some time, for the church. And I guess you could say tonight may not be necessarily a altar call service, a message for sinners, but it's more for the church. And if we could have sing a verse, the first verse of number 509, get started. Considering just the words of that song and the title of it, as I've written on the board, we need each other. It's not something, I'm not here to promote necessarily just a social organization. This is the Church of God. I don't believe most of us came here just to socialize, although that is good, and I think that's important. But we've come, it was mentioned earlier, Brother Marty was mentioning different places, folks have shown up in the last day or so from Ohio and Louisiana. But you look out over this crowd, and there's a lot of faces in here from different locations, from different walks of life, different congregations, different backgrounds, different families. But we're all in the church. We sang the song earlier, a church has one foundation. And that's the, if I could say, that's what unifies us. It's the foundation that we have built our lives upon, Jesus Christ. We built our lives upon the Word of God. Amen. And that's where, when we get together and we're singing these songs of Zion this evening, and I'll be honest with you, I could have just shut up and just listened and enjoyed it immensely. But there's something about it. Just think for a moment, what if all of us decided to just sit and listen? And maybe one person sing, or two people. Yeah, it'd be okay, but there's something about all of us together singing in the Spirit. Amen. There's power in that. Yeah. There's a special anointing in that that God is pleased with. But I want to take for a moment here and just consider, on the way out here, and even before we took off on the trip, of course, we cheated a little bit and we cut our trip in half. We stopped in Louisville on the way out and came in the rest of the way. But I remember one time we came out here 16 hours straight, and that's quite a journey. But, and others I know have traveled some 20, 30 miles straight, you know, going out to the West Coast or whatever. But I've heard of folks tell where when they take a trip by themselves, especially that long of a trip, it gets very wearisome, very lonely, and they're trying to make phone calls, or they're listening to tapes or CDs or doing whatever to keep themselves occupied and trying to stay focused on the task at hand. I got all these many hours to drive alone. But there's something about to have somebody with you, whether it's one person or two other people with you in the vehicle, makes the trip much more enjoyable. You have someone to communicate with. You have someone to help keep you awake. There's an extra motivation there that, oh, well, we're all going together and we're trying to get to this destination. But there's something about it to where when there's more than just yourself, it makes a world of difference. I mind at different times where we're on a journey, and maybe the ones with me or the ones we were contacting at the destination, it's like they were saying, well, we need to press on. They're expecting us there. They're wishing for us to get there sooner than we're able to. But there's something about that great expectation that helps spur you on. Like, okay, I can drive a few more hours here before I stop, or I can make it. And there's something about it that extra encouragement goes a long ways. But if you're to go by yourself, that's tough. That's difficult. Well, so it is with our walk with the Lord. You remember Christian in Pilgrim's Progress? And he had his companion, Hopeful. You know, that was such an inspiration and encouragement. There was something powerful about that. That extra companionship, and the Scriptures talk about it in Ecclesiastes 4, verses 9 and 10. It says, two are better than one. Now, a lot of times that can be applied to a marriage. And we heard about that last night with Brother Carl. And marriage is so critical and so important. But I believe it can also be applied to the church. The two are better than one. And it was also alluded to the Scripture talking about where two or three are gathered together in His name. There am I in the midst. You know, there's some power in that. When the saints get together, not just singing, but praying, testifying, all those different things, that there's something about it, that the power of God comes down. We sing the song, especially at Monarch time, I love to hear it, send the power down. As we gather here, you see, that's where God is so pleased with that. Where all these folks are gathered together in my name, trying to glorify me, God is pleased with that. So then He starts pouring in His power. He starts pouring out a blessing. He starts sending His anointing. And it's so wonderful to experience that. Perhaps all of us have been to Monarch and we've felt some of that. Well, I've already felt it here in this meeting. And I appreciate it. The sweet spirit of the saints. There's something about it. And you know what it does? You know what it tells me? I'm on a journey and I'm not by myself. There's others out here that they're fighting the devil too. And there's others out here that they've put forth an effort to not only to come to this meeting, to come to the worship services, to participate in the worship services, and to testify and to sing and to pray and to preach and all those things, exhort. And there's power in that. And God is pleased with that. Well, there's something about going back to the trip. I remember just recently, I was speaking with someone, and they were fixing to take a trip later this summer. It's a fellow I worked with, and he's going to go to Memphis. And perhaps some of y'all are familiar with Memphis. I've been through there a few times. But I didn't realize that there was such a contrast of the east side versus the west side. And they're telling, and what it was, the two guys I was working with, one of them has been down there numerous times. He has a boy that's been having to go to a specialist down there for some type of cancer treatment. And there's a special children's hospital. He's been taking his boy down there. And so he's speaking to this other fellow that's fixing to take a vacation down to Memphis, see all the sights and visit some of the Elvis stuff and all those things. And so as he's sharing all these details, he's talking about, well, if you go to the west side, be careful. He's like, okay. He's like, and he's rattling off all the places he's going to go, and just he and his wife. And this other fellow had been down there a lot. He's like, I would recommend going with the crowd, not just by yourself or your wife. You need to go with the crowd. And he's like, okay. And well, then he starts telling a story when he had taken his son there. To the hospital. They were staying at the Ronald McDonald House just like two blocks away. And he told one of the nurses, someone in the hospital, that he was just going to walk back to his apartment at the Ronald McDonald House from the hospital. And she's like, no. You're going to take the bus. You're going to take the courier to transport you down there. He's like, well. And so she explained it again. And they said, but the point was, there's, you think of it this way. Yes, that is in essence, that's where people are out to hurt someone else. And that's sad. But above and beyond all of that, we have an adversary. Yeah. that's out to get us, every single one of us in this crowd.
That's right.
And there are some warnings and some cautions here. Don't go alone. Don't try to fight these battles by yourself.
Right.
Now, there is something about, the brother mentioned earlier today, about getting alone with God. And that is most important. I'll back that up 100%. Yes, it is critical. But there's also another side of it, that we need each other. We need to encourage one another to know that I have your back, brother. I'm going to be praying for you, and you stay encouraged, and let's stay in contact, because the enemy's out to get every single one of us in this room.
That's right.
His job is to kill, steal, and to destroy.
That's right.
And we're not just talking about Memphis here tonight. There's many other cities around here too that have some of those same negative aspects. But I'm thankful that we can have our Heavenly Father not only walk by our side, but we can have the brothers and sisters of the church of Mount Zion, the church of God, to go with us, to march along with us, saying,
amen,
we're doing this together. Isn't that wonderful here tonight?
Yes.
Because you see, the enemy, his object is not only the end is to kill, steal, and destroy, but what he will do is he loves to use this tactic that, which we've heard different times in the military avenues. Divide and conquer. Divide and conquer. You see? Because he realizes there is power. The devil's no dummy. He knows that there is power in unity. You see, he realized what has happened to the church throughout the ages. He sent the great persecutions. And what has happened with those... Excuse me, with those persecutions, the church has only exploded in numbers. Christianity was spread all around, worldwide. And Satan, he thought he'd stamped out. Well, first of all, crucified Christ. He's like, I got him. Well, that was only the beginning. Then it exploded. And the disciples and the different ones, the apostles, they spread the gospel. Missionaries went the world over. And now he's like, okay. Well then, so the next several hundred years continued persecution. But here we are, saints of God, all down through the ages. There's always been a church. Sometimes, yes, the church has been in hiding, so to speak. Not visible with the big church steeples and monster millions of dollars of cathedrals that they may build. But the church was still intact. They were still praying for one another, being encouraging one another, praying to the same God, in the same spirit, you see.
Yes.
Well, I want to remind us again, we have an adversary. And we need each other. And let's not allow ourselves to get in a vulnerable position to where we feel like we are all alone. And no one else cares about us. No one else is there for us. And we start the little pointing finger game, you see. That does no good.
Amen.
You know, in literal warfare, let me tell you something. I've not been there, but I've talked with the veterans. And it sends chills down my spines to tell of stories where they would stand there in the firefight with bullets, live fire, zinging around their heads and bombs blowing up and missiles going here and there. But one of their brothers, that's what they call him in the military, he's injured over here and they were not going to leave until they could tend to him. I'm thinking, wow, that's impressive. But that's just in a literal, a literal sense. How much more important is it in the spiritual aspect? That if we see our brother, our sister hurting and wounded and bleeding, the casualties of warfare, spiritual warfare here, that the enemy has wreaked havoc in their lives. Lord, help us to stick together. Lord, help us to go back and encourage and prop one another up and say, I'm with you, brother. I'm with you, sister. I'm supporting you. I'm praying for you. Maybe I can't do anything else, but I'll pray. And I'm here for you. You know, that's wonderful. And if you've ever been a recipient of that, how small and insignificant it makes you feel. But you see, that's how God's church works. We're all one together. Well, I'll tell another little story. It's another military story. There was a young pilot, Air Force fighter pilot, several years ago. He was young and inexperienced, and he was sent out on a bombing mission. He was to fly over the Atlantic Ocean, I believe it was. And they sent him out knowing that there were several other aircraft flying in his fleet. And the way they do these things, that they, on such a long flight, they would refuel in midair with these big tankers, fuel tankers. Well, rough weather came upon him. Again, he's young and inexperienced, not really knowing what to expect. Oh, they had told him about these things, but to experience it in real life, it was like, wow. He could not see any of his companions around him. No fuel tankers, nobody, no one anywhere. Couldn't reach anybody. Terrible weather. And he only had just a few more minutes left of fuel. And he was panicking. In fact, he was to the point, he was about to hit the eject button and just bail out because he didn't know what else to do. And even then, there's no guarantee he's going to survive. You're out in the middle of an ocean. How, you know, no one may ever find him. But here he is, on the brink of despair, fixing to push that ejection button. And just in the nick of time, all of a sudden, here's his tanker in view. He's like, phew. And he didn't eject, of course. Hooked up with his tanker. Everything was great. But hours later, he'd landed, and someone was asking him about it, asking him about his experience. And here's what he said. He said, "In my worst moment, I suddenly realized that staying with my gang meant more than anything in the world." In other words, it could have been his life. And it really sunk into him and everyone else around him, like, he could have lost his life unnecessarily. But he hung in there. You see? So that's what I want to do this evening, is encourage us here this evening. Perhaps you found yourself in a position or in a situation where you're almost fixing to hit the eject button. You're like, I'm not receiving the help I need. I want to tell you, hang in there.
Amen.
The Lord will send someone. If not His own Spirit, and you know, sometimes people will say, "Well, I've never heard the Lord speak to me audibly." Well, I haven't either. But I've had the Lord speak to me in the Spirit. Reading Scriptures or praying, or sometimes another brother or sister in the Lord. And I know God sent them. It was the perfect words at the perfect time. And I'm thinking, "Thank you, Lord. I needed that. I knew that was from God." So I want to tell you this evening, if you found yourself, perhaps in that, or maybe in the future, you find yourself in that position where you're fixing to hit the eject button, don't do it. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. Realize that He is the one, the author and finisher of our faith. He's looking after your soul. He's not willing that any should perish. Of course, He doesn't want us to perish. Well, but again, that was His experience. Obviously felt all alone. But again, I want to encourage us. When we get to that point, remember, oh, there's so many scriptures I've thought of over the years. It's been such an encouragement. The one talking about the sparrows, "He seeth even the sparrows that fall." How much more valuable are we than the sparrows? Of course. And the fact that even the very hairs of our head are numbered. We have a brother in our congregation that different times he said, "You know, sometimes I just want to pluck out a whole handful of them just so the Lord will spend some special time and recount all mine." You see what I'm saying? But I'm thinking, you know, whatever it takes. If that's how you feel, how you want to get close to the Lord, that's great. But the point is, we're never alone. You know, the devil, that's his object, to make us feel so isolated, so alone, lonely, in despair. But I want to tell you here this evening, brothers and sisters in Christ, we need each other. And when we get into those situations, there are times when perhaps the Lord would have us to get busy. And I'll explain that here in a moment. You see, one of the remedies for being lonely and feeling on the edge of despair and feeling all down and depressed and crushed and like there's no essence of life left. One of the remedies for that is to get busy doing something for someone else. If you haven't experienced that yet, I challenge you to do that.
Amen.
It works. It works wonders, and that's how God wants it to work, you see. Because that's how His church operates. He realizes that, you know, not everyone is going to be on the mountain at the same time. There's going to be those of us down in the valley and some of us in between. Where we're in a transition in our life, our spiritual life, and maybe we're learning some tough lessons of life. We're like, Lord, I'm not giving up on you. I'm fighting. I'm struggling. But I'm falling forward, so to speak. And I'm on my way back up to the mountaintop. And then here comes someone and gives us a helping hand. And gives us that extra support or gives it whatever it is. And that's just what we needed. But I want to tell us this evening, there are times when the Lord wants us to get busy. To prove our love for the Lord.
Amen.
And encouraging not just one another as saints of God, but there's also a lost and dying world out there.
Amen.
That He wants us to help as well. Jesus did the same thing. He sat and ate with the publicans. He didn't just eat with all the spiritual ones. No, He went out to the ranked sinners.
Yes, right.
Now, I'm not encouraging us to go down to the local bar. That's not my point here this evening. But I'm challenging us, Lord, help us to be willing to give that little smile, that little helping hand, the kind word, the compliment at the grocery store, on the job, whatever it is, because there may be someone else out there fixing to hit the eject button.
Right.
They've reached their limit, and God may have placed you right there in their life at that moment to help them.
Amen.
Now, I got some words to a song that I learned as a teenager years ago. There may be some in here that have heard this. But it's been a challenge. I've never forgot the words to this song. It's a gospel song. I'll just read the words. I'm shifting gears here a little bit, so you all pray for us. The song is, I wonder what kind of church would my church be if every member was just like me. How many souls would be saved today if it all depended on what I say? I wonder how many prayers would my Lord have to answer if all that He heard came from me. I wonder what kind of church would my church be if every member was just like me. How many times have I said, I love Jesus, and turned a deaf ear to a need? How many times have I said, I'm a Christian, but never one soul did I lead? How many luxuries have I passed by to have more to give to the Lord? Jesus, I promise as long as I live, from now on, I'm going to do more. No wonder my pastor has so many burdens I never did offer to bear. No wonder the members have bowed down with sorrow I never did offer to bear. No wonder the heathen are dying in sin. No wonder the missions are lack. My heart is so cold and I've lost my first love. But Jesus, I'm on my way back. What a challenge. Oh Lord, help us to really sit and ponder this. Now I know it's not technically possible, but just the concept. What kind of church would my church be if every member was just like me? That's a challenge. There are a lot of burdens. I know we all have a lot of burdens. I want to remind us of what Jesus, the scripture in Galatians 6 and 2 says, bear ye one another burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. What is the law of Christ? Well, what did Jesus do? I mentioned a little bit earlier what He did. He went out and ate with the publicans, the sinners. Showed them some attention. But you know what? He also would preach to the multitudes. He didn't care who was there. It didn't have to be just those that understood the law and those that treated Him well. Preach to all of them. Perhaps there were even some Roman soldiers lingering around at times. He didn't care. He's going to preach to everyone. He wasn't ashamed. But not only that, Jesus spent time with His disciples. Even when they were hard-headed and slow to learn, they couldn't comprehend what He was teaching sometimes. And I can only imagine His frustration of, you all just don't get it. But He kept loving them anyway. Amen. That was the law. He didn't give up on them. Right. You think of old Peter. Oh, poor Peter. He had a rough time. Jesus didn't give up on him either. Right. When He could have. Yeah. He's just an old fisherman. But He had something there that Jesus saw. And He still reached out to him in love, forgave him. Yes. Even when Peter denied Him 3 times, yes, when Jesus was in His greatest time of need. Now I want to challenge us here tonight. When we find ourselves in our greatest time of need, don't lay the blame on anyone else. Seek the Lord. That's what Jesus was doing. He was seeking the Lord, taking up His cross, taking the burden, saying, Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Right. Nevertheless, He was willing to do the Lord's will. Amen. I'll suffer the shame, the loss, the pain. But you see, all of us have a cross to bear. Yeah. Jesus had a cross to bear. But you know, He did have His friends. Yes, they may have fell asleep on Him there in the garden, but they were still there. And Peter said, I'll never forsake you. I'm not gonna deny you. And there He denied him. But Jesus forgave him. Yeah. And Jesus looked at him with those tender eyes of compassion and yearning. Oh, Peter, and then later He's like, do you love me? Remember? Yeah. Yes, I do. Do you love me? Oh, yes. Do you love me? Really trying to get down to it. And finally Peter said, yes, Lord. And He said, then go feed my sheep, you see. In other words, the Lord is telling Peter, don't just sit around. Yes, I'm going to leave you, but I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to leave you with the job to do, and I'm going to leave you with the Holy Spirit. And with those two things, the commission to go out into all the world and preach the gospel. But it was by the anointing and the unction of the Holy Spirit, you see. That was the key. But He was saying, He gave Peter, and it wasn't just Peter, it was all the disciples, and well, all of Christians, all those that name the name of Christ. That's all of our commission to go out into the world and preach. I don't care if you're a preacher or not. We all preach with our lives. We all tell a story. We're an open book. Lord, help us to tell a clear cut story of victory, of peace, of happiness, joy, contentment, that God's going to be there for us. And then here's the beautiful thing. This is where it gets so awesome, because when we are led by the Spirit and we're living in the Spirit, then that's when we come together and we blend so beautifully together. And that's when we start sharing and communing with one another our burdens, our concerns for our loved ones, for our communities, for our congregations, for our nation. And then we get under a burden, we start praying, and then souls start getting delivered. Yeah. That's the whole message of the gospel, you see. We're doing God's work when we are supporting and encouraging one another in the Lord. Well, there's a scripture, a couple of scriptures here. I already mentioned the one about where two or three are gathered in my name. I want to touch on another thing that is so important. To prove our love to the Lord, yes, it takes a daily dedication, taking up our cross daily, following the Lord, praying, reading, doing those things. But there's another key element that is so important. Hebrews 10 and 25. Familiar scripture, we all know it. You see, we're living in a day and age. Brother Marty preached a message at Guthrie the morality of this nation, just this, the world over, of course, but just this nation is getting so gross and so wicked, full of sin. It's abounding everywhere. Sometimes you shudder to think what your children, your grandchildren will have to face in years to come. But here in Hebrews 10 and verse 25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So what's that talking about here, dear ones? That means the closer we get to the end of time, the more we're going to need each other. The more we're going to... Here's the other side of it. You see, the Scripture talks in Proverbs, I believe it is, that iron sharpeneth iron. You see, sometimes, yes, there's a lot that God can give us privately, individually. But sometimes when you get together in a worship service, God gives someone something special. And they get up and they testify, or they exhort, or they preach, or whatever it is. And they share their story. And then it's like, bing, 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 the light comes on. It's like, oh, I get it. I'll just be honest with you. There's a lot of things that I've never got on my own. It wasn't until I got to worship services, and then it's expounded and explained, and I'm like, oh, now I get it. I understand it. Why did I never get it? The Lord's saying, I was just waiting on you to show up. Maybe show up in the right spirit. You see what I'm saying? An open heart saying, Lord, give me what you have for me. I'm open to fill up my cup. Not going with an attitude of, well, I never get anything when I go, you know. But say, oh Lord, what do you have for me? And maybe sometimes it's, Lord, what do you want me to give to you and to the saints there? Is there something I can share? But the point is, Lord, help us not to be, I'll just use this word, lazy. You know, I hate that word. Especially when it's indicated towards me about something like, well, you're just lazy. I'm like, okay, you might be right. But, oh Lord, help us. In the spiritual sense, let's not be lethargic and lazy and complacent, just kind of like, well, we'll just kind of glide along. And, well, it didn't hurt. We didn't do that time. Well, we didn't do this. That's okay. And, you know, does God really care about the... Yes, He does. That's why we have His Scriptures. They're very explicit, very detailed. You look at the old law in the Old Testament, that the children of Israel that God had called out was a peculiar people. Why? He was wanting to manifest Himself in the flesh with His people. And so many times, they botched it up. But then here came Jesus, the Son of God, the perfect sacrifice. And Jesus came down in the flesh and said, okay, I'm going to show you that even in the flesh, yes, you're going to be tired. Sometimes you're not going to feel good. You're going to have people turn against you. You're going to have people misunderstand you. You're going to have people spit in your face. But yet through all of that, Jesus was faithful. Never once falsely accused anyone else around Him. Even when He was hanging on the cross, He looked out over them and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's powerful. Oh Lord, help us that we have that same forgiving spirit about us. Do we not lay the blame on anyone else for our troubles? But Lord, what would You have for me? Lord, where do You want me to move up on? Lord, what do You want me to do? Lord, who do You want me to pray for? Who do You want me to cook a meal and take over to their house for? Who do You want me to call up and encourage? All those things, that's part of this, I call it, well, it's just simply the church. The pure, holy church of God. It's not just a gang. It's not just a team. No, this is the church. This is God's holy, righteous, called out, pure bride in the earth. Someone with victory. Someone that has a clear testimony and it rings loud and clear. There's not a garbled little message. You know, they're like, what was that? Or I didn't quite get that. I didn't quite understand that. Or their life isn't quite adding up here. There's something suspicious there. Oh, Lord, help us to live a clean, open, life. Before the Lord, before our brothers and sisters, before our neighbors, our employers, whatever it is, that we live this life. And not only that, when they come to our worship services, that they see and feel that same spirit, the openness, the joy, the inspiration to live life. And to live it abundantly. That I'm not just going to drag myself through life and be forced to do everything. But what does the song say? We go where we want to. We do whatever we please because we desire to. Our desire is to please the Lord. And to reach out to the lost and dying world. And to do what we can to spread the message of the gospel.
Amen.
Well, so it is. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. It's so important. Don't neglect it. Don't just cast it off as, well, we'll just go whenever it's convenient. I want to tell you something. If we just did things when they were convenient, what about the electricity that just came on here this afternoon? What if those guys on the power line said, oh no, it's Saturday, we're off the clock today. We'll do it a more convenient day, like maybe Monday. But you realize those guys, they went out and they worked on the power lines. Whatever, for whatever reason, the power went out. But they did it because they had a job. They had a duty. They were commissioned. This is your job. I don't care if you got a headache. I don't care if you got a stomach ache. I don't care what it is. If you've only had 3 hours of sleep, this is your job. Go out and do it. So that's our challenge here today, tonight. We have a job. We are commissioned to preach the gospel to the world.
Yes.
And part of that preaching, the gospel is to one another as well.
Amen.
That is the law of Christ. That is proving that His graces are real and they work. If we can't get along and support one another, then what kind of message is that to the world?
Amen.
We have nothing. There's nothing to it. You see, there's other organizations out there where they are forced to do things, and oh, it looks great on the surface, like wow, and they look like a parade of soldiers, and they do all these things, everything's just perfect, and but there's something about the saints of God that we do these things because we want to.
Yeah.
We want to please God. We want to help one another. Isn't that awesome? There's so, I want to tell you, remember back in our great American history, remember the Minutemen? The Revolutionary War?
Yeah.
There was some power there. They had an ambition there. They had a desire to come together and to defeat the enemy. But there was something about it. They had their day jobs. And yes, they had to sleep at night too. And they had children to take care of. They had a home. They had all these things. But they were Minutemen. At the sound of whatever indications they gave, blowing the horn or shooting guns or whatever, it's like, all right, grab your arms. We're going to battle. Minutemen willing to be on the battlefield like that.
Yeah.
Drop everything. Because they had a job.
Yeah.
They had a desire. No one was going around forcing them, you better come out here. You better do this. No. They all wanted to. So that's what I want to challenge us here tonight. Let's check our desire. If we find ourselves falling short on some of these things, say, well, Lord, would you reveal to me? Maybe there's some shortcomings. Maybe there's some blame I may be trying to lay somewhere else where it need not be. Oh, that we would humble ourselves before the Lord and say, Lord, what would you have me do? There's something about the power of unity. I mentioned earlier the scripture, two are better than one. I think there's another scripture talking about a three-strand cord, hard to break. And if you've ever noticed that, if you've ever taken just one string, it's pretty easy to break. But you get two, three, four, five of these things braided together, very powerful. Very powerful, very stout. That's what I encourage us to do here tonight. That we bind ourselves together so tightly, there's no room for selfishness. There's no room for unforgiveness, hurt feelings, whatever it is. I'm not trying to stir up anything here tonight. I'm just trying to realize that we all are human. And we all have things that we have to deal with. And sometimes it's easy to point a finger at God and try to lay blame to God's will. Lord, why did you allow this to happen? I want to tell you something. Remember Job? When he tried to... God put him in his place. He's like, where were you, Job, when I made this earth? Where were you? You know, we're just humans. God is God. He's a mighty God. An all-powerful God. An omnipotent, omniscient God that sees everything, understands everything, and He knows how to get us to heaven. He may allow things to happen in our lives to get us to stop. Maybe it's a shock and awe, so to speak. To get our attention. Like, oh, maybe pull the rug out from under us, so to speak. Maybe bump our head spiritually, so to speak. Stub our toe. To get us to stop and think, what am I doing? Am I doing this right? Am I fighting this race? Am I running this race properly? Or am I looking around and stumbling and staggering? Oh Lord, help us to pick one another up, encourage one another, and to press on. And to do as the Scripture says, looking unto the author and finisher of our faith. If our focus is upon Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, that'll solve a lot of things. That'll give us the motivation because He'll remind us with that look that He gave Peter. That look of love and compassion. But yet a look of challenge. Saying, Peter, you can do better. You know that's what Jesus was thinking. That's the message Peter was getting. Oh, he went out and wept bitterly. But there was something about it. Peter had this desire. Oh yeah, remember he went out later and said, well, I'll just go fishing. Well, he was going to revert back to what he was used to, what he was comfortable with. You see, that's kind of the laziness, if I can say it that way. The complacency, well, I'll just kind of get back to what I'm used to and it'll be okay. So Peter said, I'll just go fishing. Oh no. Jesus met him there. Jesus had a commission for him. He told him, feed my sheep. Oh Lord, help us to be willing to feed the Lord's sheep. To feed one another. To encourage one another. I want to tell you something. Some of the most powerful messages I've ever heard or witnessed in my life was an example that someone lived every day, consistent. Not just on Sunday mornings. Or not just in revival. Or not just in a camp meeting. But every day I watched their life. They were steady. They were there every time there was a need. They were there to pray. They were there to bring things, to assist people, to encourage one another. I'm like, they got something. And you know what else? They reached out to me too. I saw them do. But then they reached out to me. When I knew they had issues, challenges, hurts themselves, but yet the Lord had given them the victory and they wanted to spread that love, that victory God had given them to encourage that you can have it too. That was the message they're trying to give. So Lord, help us. Do we get the victory? Then we can go out and share it with others. Say, yes, by the grace of God, you can have the victory too. So let's all be encouraged here tonight. Amen. As the Scripture says, they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And the word of their testimony, that is proving that God's graces are working in our lives. That God will give us the grace to help one another, to encourage one another, and not just those of us in this room. But we're talking about when we all go back home to our congregations, to our workplace, to our neighborhood, our family, that we have that same mindset that Jesus had, that law of love, to reach out to them, to encourage them, because you never know when someday you may be the one in need and you're going to be asking, oh Lord, would you send... Oh Lord, help us to sow the good seed. To not be weary in well-doing. It seems like sometimes the devil would get us to... Well, the Scripture says in Daniel, talks about wearing out the camp of the saints. Just wearing them down. So it's like, we're doing all this and we're praying here and fasting there and we're seeking the Lord here and we're encouraging here and we're doing all these things. And it's like, sometimes it doesn't look like there's any fruits. Nothing is coming of that. But I want to encourage us here tonight. Don't be weary in well-doing. Keep pressing on. You'll get the victory. The good fruit will come sooner or later. God will see to it. But you can't be weary in well-doing. You have to press against the flesh. Press against the enemy. Press against the onslaughts of, dare I say, the stampede of the worldly influences that are all around us. Yes. It's more than just the billboards. It's the conversations with other folks out there that don't name the claim, they don't claim the name of Christ. They're full of sin and filthiness and they're just regurgitating all kinds of evil things. Just all around us. But oh Lord, help us not to allow any of that to tarnish us. Amen. To soak in. And that we dwell upon. But oh Lord, help us to look to the author and finisher of our faith. And He will teach us and encourage us and show us how to help one another. How to encourage one another. And in the end, what's it say in Revelation? He that endureth to the end. Well, it says it in Matthew. And he that overcometh, it says in Revelation, I'll give to him a crown of life. And in Matthew it talks about to him that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. The Lord help us. We persevere and we press all the way. That we finish this journey. That we don't get just 5 miles from the house, so to speak, and say, I'm too tired, I'm going to pull over and sleep. And then you miss everything. You see what I'm saying? Oh Lord, help us not to give up at the very last. That we press the battle all the way through. All the way to the gates with victory.
Yes.
In the name of the Lord. And by doing that, there's some coming behind us and saying, well, they're pressing on. Guess what? I can too.
Yes.
You see, that's how it works. That's how the church works. You realize that's why you look at the ministers here today. You go back 20 years ago, and there was a different group of ministers here. 30 years ago, there was a different group of ministers. But a big reason why most of us here today, it's not just because of the ministers, but it's those faithful saints of God down through the years. Brother Jim White, I'm sure we could hear all kinds of stories tonight. I remember, dear brother. But it's ones like that that were steady. They pressed the battle all the way to the end. And they finished their course with victory. And all along their way, they're encouraging, they're uplifting, they're praying, they're seeking the Lord. They're doing all those things. For who? For the glory of God. Not to toot their own horn, and not to get fame and recognition. Oh Lord, help us to press all the way, to finish our course, and in the meantime, encouraging one another, that others would come behind us, as the song says, find us faithful.
Amen.
May all who come behind us find us faithful.
Amen.
That we finish our course with victory, and all along the way, we're happy in the Lord, we're encouraged in the Lord, and we're helping one another. What a beautiful picture. That's what God's wonderful plan of salvation is all about.
Yeah.
It's not just a name it and claim it. It's not just a vain, empty words, a sounding brass, but it's something that has weight, substance, because there's a life behind it that's backing it up. That's a true child of God that's born into the church of God, helping one another, encouraging one another, and keeping the victory. You pray for me that I would do likewise.
Amen.